and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to invite you to do a little mental experiment with me as we begin this morning. Envision your heart, your soul, as a cup. What does it look like? Is it part full? Is it full to overflowing? Who or what fills your cup? And is that source that fills it reliable? Are your deepest needs being met? What about your hurts and your pain? Sit with that image for a moment and think about it. Your heart as a cup. Is it empty? Or is it full? Or is it overflowing? That image is what Paul is getting at, I think, in our lesson from 2 Corinthians this week. He's addressing an important question about how we view the world and how we view ourselves. Now, unless you're a first-time visitor, you're probably aware that we're in the fifth week of a sermon series where we're considering our epistle lessons, our lessons from the New Testament. We've been in 2 Corinthians now for 5 weeks in a row. And if you've been here a little bit during that time, and many of you have, then you know that Paul likes to use contrasts. And we've been talking about those contrasts. Just review. First week, we had the contrast of clay jars filled with treasure. We had the seen and the unseen in God's kingdom. We had the old becoming new. We had sorrow versus rejoicing. And this week, Paul seems to be talking about scarcity versus abundance in our world, in our lives. Now, if it sounds like this is a stewardship sermon coming, you're very perceptive. I know it's not November yet, but this is the topic: how we view our lives and our world and what God has given us. Apparently, a little context, Paul had been gathering a collection for the church back in Jerusalem. And he had been asking the Gentile Christian churches in Greece and Macedonia to collect funds to purchase food for the starving Christians back at the church in Jerusalem. Now, there is generosity here. Obviously, this was a ministry, you know, of need. People were hungry and needed help. But for Paul, this was particularly important because at that time, there was kind of a split between Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians. And Gentiles often were excluded from the table by the Jewish Christians. And so here's the twist, that these Gentiles are providing food for the Jews who some of the time excluded them. Collecting money for food for the church back in Jerusalem, which apparently was having a really hard time. Persecutions were beginning. Leaders were being killed. Now, for some reason, the folks in Corinth had committed to help, and then they had hedged their bets. They were hesitating. They didn't have them in the day, but you could say they were sitting on their wallets. They had made a commitment, but they weren't following through. So as Paul writes to them, he realizes that they need a good stewardship sermon. And that's what chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians really are, a stewardship sermon. And it's a pretty good one. Number one, it's really short. And that's always a good start. But more importantly, the underlying motivations of what Paul is encouraging them to do is very different from a lot of the fundraising that you hear today, even in churches. You see, Paul doesn't manipulate or threaten them. Paul doesn't lay a guilt trip on them, that this is something you ought to do, you good Christians. He doesn't use his authority as an apostle to coerce them. He doesn't use catchy phrases or gimmicks. He doesn't offer to put their name on bricks on the walkway to the temple. He doesn't offer to put their name next to the altar on a little brass plaque. He doesn't do any of those things. Nor does he preach some variation of the contemporary lie that's called the prosperity gospel. You know, the idea that if you give to God, God will give you in divine multiples more than you have given. Almost as if your gift is venture capital that guarantees a greater return. No, it doesn't work that way. Paul resorts to none of those modern fundraising techniques. Instead, he gets right down to the basics, and maybe that's where we should be too. First, he tells them about Jesus, about what Jesus has done, how selflessly Jesus has given of himself. And then he talks about grace. Good Lutherans love this. Talks about grace. That's because all the other good stuff is good and it works well and it's helpful, but it's just fundraising. But Paul is talking about stewardship in its best sense. He knows that stewardship on its most basic level is about the gospel, about the good news of who we are in relationship to Jesus. And it's about grace. It's not about us. It's about what God has done for us. Any other motivation than those two, you're barking up the wrong tree. It's just fundraising, and it's not stewardship. So first, he reminds them in chapter 8 about what Jesus has done, how Jesus emptied himself of divine power and glory, came to us as a human being in human flesh, weak and vulnerable, and writes that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. He emptied himself so that we might be filled with the abundance of life in God. In other words, Paul started where you have to start, with what God has first done for us in Christ. Came in human flesh to free us from sin, to redeem us from our innate selfishness, to give us the abundant life, to give us joy in following him, joy in living, joy in giving, joy in forgiving, being like Jesus. Because you see, it's a matter of who we are in relationship to Jesus. In baptism, we are children of God. Paul elsewhere talks about how we're clothed in Christ. We take on his attributes as our own. We take on his righteousness, even though we have none. We take on his goodness, even though we lack. We take on his generosity as well. His self-emptying giving of himself for others. As Christ lives in us, we follow. That's what discipleship is. And we try to emulate him, the one who gave his all so that we might receive the riches of his grace. Elsewhere in Scripture, it says we love because he first loved us. Well, now you can apply that to a whole bunch of other stuff. We forgive because he first forgave us. We care because he first cared for us. We work to heal because he first worked to heal us. We give because he first was generous to us. It's who we are. We're people of God. So in this little two-chapter stewardship sermon, Paul first talks about Jesus, and then he talks about grace. Now, if you look closely at chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, Lutherans don't usually bring our Bibles to church, but it would be a good practice. If you look, you don't see the word grace anywhere, except it's there, all over the place. If you look, there's places where there's little footnotes, and you look down at the bottom, and certain words really originally mean grace, the word grace, but they've been changed. For example, it begins, "Now as you excel in everything," he's talking to the Corinthians, and then he lists all the ways that they excel, kind of like Good Shepherd. He says, "So I want you to excel in this generous undertaking." That's what the New RSV says. But the word, the footnote, is grace. We want you to excel in this grace. And it talks about how Jesus had a generous undertaking. But the word really is grace. There's grace all over these two chapters, even though you don't see the word. Now, for us, if stewardship is a generous undertaking, then it's something that we do, right? But if it's grace, and that's the word, if it's grace, it's something that God does in and through us. Makes a big difference, because stewardship is not about us. It's about what God has done. It's what God is doing in and through us. Maybe that's why at the end of our lesson, you notice Paul uses the imagery of manna in the wilderness. You know the story, right? The Israelites were leaving from Egypt, you know, great rescue through the Red Sea and out into the wilderness. And when they got out there, the people started to moan and groan and complain because they were hungry and they were thirsty and they didn't have all the stuff that they really wanted. And, oh, woe is us. You know, we don't have enough. We're going to starve. We're not going to, we don't have anything at all. Scarcity thinking. And then God provides manna and quail, food every day. The manna comes, and every morning it's out there. All they have to do is go out and pick it up and take it and eat it. You know, but there was only enough for one day. But people, with their scarcity thinking, thought, oh my God, there won't be enough. So they start to hoard more and get more and collect more. And when they did that, it would rot. You know the story. And they said, those who did not, who had much did not have too much, and those who had little did not have too little. Those Israelites were into scarcity thinking. There's not enough. Not enough to go around. If you have more, then I have less. It's competition. Scarcity thinking, it's drawn out of fear. They were afraid. They were afraid, but yet God held them in God's hands and wouldn't forsake them. This whole idea of scarcity, Paul reminds them that it's a different world from what God's kingdom is about. It's not driven by fear. It's driven by faith. It's not about us. It's about what Jesus has done, what God has done for us. It's not scarcity. It's abundance. It's God's grace. Now, the Bible repeatedly assures us that there's more than enough. But do we believe it? Do we trust it? Do we live it? That's the problem. That's the challenge. The Bible tells us repeatedly, there's enough. There's more than enough. More than we can ask or imagine. There's more than enough food for everyone in this world. There's more than enough resources if it were shared. There's more than enough welcome for everyone if we would offer it. There's more than enough forgiveness because God's forgiveness is unlimited. There's more than enough healing and hope. There's even enough life to overcome the power of death through Christ. There really is enough. Now the catch, the challenge, is not about how much God provides. That's more than enough. The challenge for us is to recognize that we are children of God. If we serve God and serve our neighbor, if we try to be like Jesus, then we too live in a world of abundance. Then we too are generous. Then we too recognize how abundantly God has blessed us. And then we too work to share it. That at its core is what stewardship's about. It's about Jesus and our relationship to God, and it's about grace, how much God has given us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.